when the replay official did not stop the game?
I'm not going to comment on that. I'll get fined for the rest of my life if I get commented on that.
We had a great belief in our locker room. We didn't have to do anything special, just be us. I was so proud of this team. We had so much fun, it ought to be illegal.
Coach Carousel talk, is that something you just ignore?
Yeah, you ignore, because one week you're getting fired and the next week you're going to take another job, and I'm worried about the darn SEC West Championship. And so, yes, to answer your question.
I'm the man to go get it done with this staff, with this team, with this program. There's not anybody left standing after 2015. All right, I am. And I know what it takes. You build in together, you fight together, and you go find a way to get it done.
That's iron sharpening iron. That's the way this thing's got to work, man. We got to know and understand that it's got to be about competition.
We're coming. We're coming. And we ain't backing down.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Hey, doing good, Shane. We're getting ramped up with these coaching rumors. I'm excited to talk to you about that. But before we do that, Shane, right before we hopped on the pod here, The latest college football playoff rankings came out. This is going to be the second to last one. We only got one of these left. So just wanted to spend a moment here discussing that. And, you know, that was kind of uneventful because the top four remains the same. So it's Ohio State number one, LSU number two, Clemson number three, Georgia number four. Then it gets a little crazy here, Shane. Utah's number five. They're up. That's up one spot. Oklahoma's number six. That's also up one spot. And then the last three here, obviously just the SEC teams that are ranked in the college football playoff ranking that I want to hit on. Florida, finally into the top 10. They should be number five, in my opinion. But the Gators, number nine. They're up two spots.
Sorry.
We got Auburn, number 11. That's up four spots. And then how stupid is this? Alabama, number 12 in the nation, down seven spots because they lost to one of the nation's best team at home. But thoughts on that, Shane? Alabama, 12. Auburn, 11. Florida, number nine. And then, of course, the top four remains the same.
What about Florida? Finally making some movement, Mike. Getting up two spots right behind Wisconsin. And Wisconsin's one lost team, right?
Haven't they lost twice?
That's correct. They have. And one of them was to Illinois. And if you forget, they're on a three-game losing streak, baby. But they are bowl eligible. They did get six in, so I guess we'll give them that. But, this I don't know. This list is so stupid sometimes. And, you know, I just think when you're looking at a playoff situation, you know, do you really think Utah is better than Alabama? I mean, honestly, I know Alabama's down there, but if you were to put on a neutral field the University of Alabama and Utah, I mean, Alabama would probably still be a 13, 14-point favorite, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, especially after we just saw they put up 45 on the road at Auburn's defense with a backup quarterback. You got to think they're going to score 60 on Utah.
Exactly. So I don't understand sometimes these stupid lists because they're not taking a, you know, they're in the moment. They're not taking a step back and actually analyzing, you know, okay, yes, I understand Utah's lost a game, okay, just one, and Alabama's lost two. But let's talk about who they have lost to. Let's talk about Florida. Florida at nine, you know, they've lost to Georgia and LSU, two of the top four teams, and they're at nine. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. This is why I want an expansion in the playoffs, because this thing will have a way of working itself out.
Mm-hmm. And I also think, in part, you know, you kind of hit on Wisconsin being so high. A lot of this has to do with they want these conference championship games to look better. They want number one versus Wisconsin. They want, you know, LSU, Georgia. I think those rankings are legitimate, but I think I'm pretty positive that all of a sudden, Shane, the team Clemson's got to face Virginia. They moved into the poll. They've not been ranked the entire damn college football playoff. Now they're like 24th. Clemson is still like a 30-something point favorite. So, but we got to give them a quality win here. So we're going to bump them up. So that's kind of all this is.
Yeah, you're right. Some of the comments when we put it on the page there, a lot of people are saying, you know what, they're just doing this because they're going to be right back down the following week because they're going to get spanked. So, not like old Feinbaum. Are you going to play that clip? Jeez Louise, you put that thing up there, it went all like fire. It's still going on. I've never seen so many angry tweets in my life.
Clemson fans are pissed off, Shane, and Paul Feinbaum giving Dabo some hell.
All I can tell you is we're 10-1 versus the SEC in our last 11. And we've won 115 games this decade. So has Ohio State and so has Alabama. And we've played both of them. And our program has held – our program is what people don't focus on.
Okay, well, Dabo brought Georgia into it, so I will too. They've got the 21st-ranked strength of schedule to Clemson's 65. Anyway, go ahead and respond to Dabo there, saying no one wants them in.
Yeah, I think Dabo Swinney is the most annoying – winner in all of sports. I mean, the guy just can't keep his trap shut. I mean, somebody just give the man a pacifier, send him to timeout, and we'll check in with him on December 28th when he finally plays a legitimate team during this entire college football season.
My God, Shane, I thought, sometimes I think these guys, you know, come into these shows like, oh, I'm gonna say some BS. But here I thought, you know, I'm not calling Feinbaum out at all here, but I mean, I think everything he's saying here is true. I don't know how you can even debate it.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden the Tiger fans, man, boy, are they pissed. You know what?
Oh man, Tiger fans. And hey, I will say there's a few SEC fans upset too because of Paul's love for Alabama, you know. So but I think this is I think Dabo's an absolute joke, and it's just woe is me. And then you look at that schedule, come on, get out of here. Yeah, you are going to have some competition, and it just sucks because they haven't all season.
Mm-hmm. You know, Shane, I can be honest with you, I haven't heard complaining like this since Appy State got on me.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, boy. Yeah, don't fire that one up again. We just got off of that one.
All right, Shane, you ready to go around the league?
Yeah, buddy.
Now let's go around the league.
My daughters said something about me wearing a visor and need to put on a hat because I'm getting bald. So I'm going to wear a hat from here on out.
I mean, if you look over the next 6 years, I think we played Miami 3 times, Florida State 6 times, South Florida 3 times, Mississippi State once. So who's the SEC teams? You know, I mean, I think it's an injustice for the kids. We should mix those games up, and you should, play more teams from the West.
Why don't you start calling around and see if you can get somebody else to play us, and we'll play them. We'll play anybody you can get to play us.
In Louisiana, hold on a second.
Hey, guys! Hey! I'm having a press conference, okay? Thank you!
All right, so we're going to get down to the matchup of the SEC Championship at the tail end of the show. We don't have a ton of news, so we're just kind of going to go around the league a little bit before we get to the SEC title game. And we're going to start in Columbia, South Carolina, where we had some news here on Tuesday, Shane, where it was originally reported, I believe, by ABC Columbia, that Ryan Helinski had injured his meniscus and tore his ACL. Now, there were reports that immediately came out that said the ACL injury was not a tear. And that's what South Carolina has come out and confirmed. Helinski does need surgery. Now, they say he's going to be fine for spring football. He's got that meniscus issue, so they're going to have surgery on it. And this is something that he hurt, Shane, if you recall, during that Georgia game where he took that hit that looked a little shady. You know, it was a shot to the knee, but it turned out that the Georgia player essentially got, I don't want to say his knees taken out, but he kind of flew into Helinski, not because he was just diving at him, but because he was essentially blocked into him. So it wasn't a dirty hit, but it was you could tell immediately it was one that could have ended Helinski's season. And sounds like South Carolina could have shut him down, but, you know, they made the decision along with the Helinski family. Ryan Helinski's father issued a statement saying, you know, there was no chance of further injuring him. So, you know, they felt fine letting him play. You know, I think it speaks to the kid's toughness that he gutted it out, because you got to remember Jake Bentley obviously was out for the year. DeCarrion Joyner was really banged up. I mean, it just seemed like he was unable to go most of the season as well. I don't even know where South Carolina would have went if Olinsky couldn't play. And I think that really explains, you know, his tail end of the season was so poor. It's just, I don't even know if he was ready for college, major college football to be a starter. And now he's dealing with that. He was dealing with the elbow injury. I got a little bit more respect for his toughness, but hopefully, you know, he gets his surgery. He gets right for spring football, because, you know, the Will Muschamp era is going to be made or broke essentially by this kid. So that's just some interesting news there out of Columbia. What are your thoughts on hearing all this?
Well, let me ask you, Mike. So now that we know this information, do we give him a pass?
Are you talking about Muschamp, or are you talking about Helinski
no,
here?
No, I'm talking about Helinski, man, because after Georgia, it was just a train wreck over there. And, you know, a lot of people wanted to know what's wrong with Helinski. And you see freshman quarterback. I mean, I understand he was a freshman quarterback, but there was a lot of freshman quarterback that got better. I mean, look at Bo Nix in Alabama, you know. So I just – do we give him a pass because of the injuries? I mean, was that what was hindering his game plan? I know it had to affect it, but, you know, there were some god-awful games, Mike.
Yeah, I give him a pass because if you recall, I know it was Charleston Southern, but, I mean, my God, that's when I came up with the Heislinski name.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did it the next week. Wasn't as effective, but, I mean, he was unfazed by Alabama. And he threw all over them. I know they didn't have the greatest defense this year, but still they got tons of quality players on that defense. So, yeah, from what I've seen, it was disturbing to see how big of a drop-off. But I think this kind of, you know, you understand it now that you're dealing with all these issues. And just kind of curious to see what kind of offensive system they put into place next year, because the offense is going to be built around Helinski.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I hope he's 100% next year so that we can – finally see what he can do 100% and with the whole offseason as South Carolina's starting quarterback.
That's all you want, man. Seriously, you just want a good quarterback. That's what we all want. I mean, anybody listening to this podcast and you love your team and you just want a good damn quarterback, you know, somebody you can rely on and grow with. And, you know, you see teams like the Bearded Schrader and, you know, Trask coming back and you know, I mean, that's just, it feels good. And I want to buy into the Heislinski. I did, because I wanted to see him play last year. And like you said, there were flashes of like, man, this guy's legit. And then there was moments you're like, yeah, he is a freshman, you know. So I hope he takes a big step forward this offseason. First, he's got to get healthy. You know, this playing through injuries. I mean, everybody's playing through injuries during the season, but it seems like this was a little extreme, man.
Yeah, and if I'm a South Carolina fan, Shane, I'm thinking, you know, I know almost all of them at this point are out on Will Muschamp, ready to see change. I don't think that's obviously going to happen this offseason, but the good thing you got in your back pocket, Shane, you may have a franchise-type quarterback here, and you look across the league, Shane. I mean, like, what was Missouri when Kelly Bryant went down? What Alabama's not as effective with Tua down? And, I mean, you can just go on down the list. At least they've got that centerpiece. They've got confidence knowing what they got under center. And if I'm, you know, if there's any glimmer of hope for the Will Muschamp era and they're at South Carolina, at least you got that main piece you need. And the defense, you know, before it got kind of decimated there, it looked like they had kind of turned the corner as well. So you got a defense, you got a quarterback. I think you got a chance next year if you're South Carolina, if all goes, you know, a lot better than it did this year.
Absolutely. And what they got coming in, you know, I mean, talk about easier to recruit. You know, if the offense does take a step forward, and I don't know who they're going to bring in as coordinator, but, you know, they got some really nice young talent that's scheduled, you know, hasn't signed yet, but is scheduled to be on that campus. And they continue to grow around that and can sell Helinski, hey, you come in, you're going to play immediately. Yeah, they could build something special down there pretty quick.
And I think they're returning 4 or 5 offensive linemen, which, you know, that never gets enough publicity, how many linemen you got coming back. But that's one of the things I always key in on every offseason. Last thing here for the Gamecocks, Shane. I know you love your home and home matchups here. The Gamecocks announced a home and home series with Miami. I like that. That's pretty good.
I like it.
It's going to start in 2026 in South Carolina, 2027 the following season at Miami. Thoughts on that series?
I like it. I approve this message. I hope this is a week zero matchup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that could be a damn good one right there.
Yeah.
All right, Shane. So we're
going to. Cocks and Canes.
Jumping down to the other Columbia, Missouri, Shane, where.
M-I-Z-C-O-U.
Tristan Castillo, the center there for Missouri, announced he is going pro early. He's going to enter the 2020 NFL draft. I think this was pretty shocking to a lot of people. Now, they already had two seniors on that offensive line, two of their better players. Now they got Castillo going. They got Jordan Elliott, the defensive tackle, has already announced he's leaving. Albert O, the tight end, has announced he's leaving. And I think this is what comes. This is the price that comes when you fire your coach when, you know, you couldn't. I'm not saying, you know, Missouri's going to go in the tank because they got rid of Barry Odom. I'm still not sold on Barry Odom being an elite coach or anything, but that is something to kind of note moving forward. You got all these guys leaving. I think that's, you know, that's something these ADs need to consider when you got a head coach in the balance there. If you cut your coach, we're seeing it maybe a little bit at Ole Miss here. A lot of players potentially could be walking out their door. It may be tough here for the next Missouri coach. At least, you know, he's losing some of his marquee talent. Obviously the seniors, but now a couple juniors as well.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. When they had the sanctions, or I don't want to call it, well, I guess it was sanctions, wasn't it? Yeah, would you consider
a bowl? And moving forward, they also have recruiting scholarships taken away. Moving forward, yeah. So the new coach is going to have to deal with that as well.
Well, there was a reason these kids stuck around. I mean, nobody transferred. There was more kids transferring from other schools that doesn't have sanctions, you know?
Right.
And a lot of that had to do with Coach Odom. And you know, you just kicked him out, man. You know, so I know he was pumping up his track record, and I don't want to do that, but you had a pretty good coach there, man. And did things go exactly as planned? Absolutely not. But you know, everything I've heard from Coach Odom is he's a player's coach, and these guys bought in, so it doesn't surprise me that a lot of them are going to leave.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane, let's talk, while we're talking Missouri here, we can talk a little bit of coaching carousel here. Latest speculation from Dennis Dodd, CBS senior writer, college football writer, longtime writer. I'm sure he's well-connected here. I don't think he'd just be throwing this stuff out there. But according to Dennis Dodd of CBS, Arkansas and Missouri, Shane, both interviewing Willie Fritz, the Tulane coach. Now, I don't know people who follow Tulane that well. I know I personally don't, but I do know a little bit about Willie Fritz. He's a little bit of an older guy, but he's a longtime coach, been very successful, basically all his stops. And I think he's doing it once again down there in Tulane. You know, you don't have much to work with down there, but he's getting it done. And according to Dennis Dottie's, this guy, Willie Fritz, has already met with Arkansas. And he's soon to meet with Missouri. And apparently, according to this person who's giving him this information, Willie Fritz calls Missouri his dream job. So take that for what it's worth. But thoughts on that, Shane, where, you know, it seems like a lot of these, everybody wants a, you know, the next young coordinator guy that's going to be, you know, the next Urban Meyer or Lincoln Riley or Steve Spurrier or what have you. But I think sometimes there's something to be said for hiring a guy that's been coaching for 20-something years that knows what the hell he's doing. I mean, I think, not saying Arkansas should turn around and hire this guy, but if you're going to give me unproven Chad Morris, who's all this hype and there's no substance, or you're going to hire maybe a little bit of older guy who's been, you know, working the lower levels but has been very successful, and, you know, he's not going to be around for 15 years, but if he can give you 4 or 5 good years – in a certain situation, I think that could be the right move to kind of get the program on solid footing.
You know, I'm looking at this guy. I can't approve of this message, Mike. I mean, I'm looking at a 6-6, 7-6, 5-7, 4-8 Tulane. So mm-hmm. that's his record.
Mm-hmm.
It's 22-27 since he's been at Tulane. So, you know, yeah, he's been a head coach, but he's been a terrible head coach at Tulane, if you ask me. Now, I know some people probably like him personally. He's 59 years old. He is an older gentleman. He has been around. You know, he spent majority of his time in Central Missouri, and that's when he was a good coach. But, you know, this is big boy ball, and I don't know if that's the answer. I mean, you know, but this again, a lot of times you see these top hires, it's one extreme to another. So you took a chance on the young coordinator, you know, that's got a little flair to him. You know, we all thought Chad Morris was going to be the dude, you know, and then now you got old Rusty dude that's been, you know, killing it up at Tulane. And, you know, yeah, he knows how to run a program, but, you know, he's fourth in the West in his own, you know, the AAC conference. So, yeah, I'm not getting too excited about this. You know what sucks, though, Mike?
What's that?
Because I've been there. You know, Arkansas, Mizzou, all these guys, you know, you talk about these sexy names, you know, that you're going to come here. Mike Leach, the Pirate's going to be here, you know. And then all of a sudden, these are the names that pop up. And these are the names that get hired sometimes. So I'm not in on Fritz. So I hope this is just a nasty rumor.
Well, here's another one, Shane, that I know you're not going to be in on. And I want to give this guy credit, because if he's right, he's going to make us both look pretty stupid. And, you know, we'll have to give this guy some credit. But this guy's name is Jack McGuire, who works for Barstool Sports. And according to Jack, Will Healy has turned down the Missouri job and will interview with Ole Miss. If all goes well, he will be the next head coach of the Rebels very soon. I don't know how much, it seems very peculiar that you'd say, you know, he's not even interviewed, but he's going to be the coach soon if it goes well. Like, there's too many ifs there. That's not really how this stuff works. It's, you know, you meet and then an offer's made, you know what I mean? So
right.
I don't know how much credit I put into this, but the only reason I really even wanted to bring this up, because I'm sure fans are just dying for any and all information. But if Ole Miss, and keep in mind this guy Will Healy, he's 34 years old, so he's very young in his career, but he's got a losing record at Austin Peay. He's got one year at Charlotte, and he's 7-5. If you're Ole Miss and you just fired Matt Luke and you're going to lose out on maybe the best coordinators in the SEC, at least the pair of them, I'm talking Mike McIntyre and Rich Rodriguez, because they're not going to work for this kid.
Right.
You're throwing them all down the hill to hire Will Healy, then my God, Shane, I mean, Ole Miss just set themselves back 5 years here. I mean, if that's the plan.
Yeah, I don't know this guy at all. I'm looking, he did win the Eddie Robinson Award, you know, which is important because Jim Tressel did too in 1994. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're striking something here. Houston Nutt is another winner of this award. So mm-hmm. No, I don't know anything about this guy. Do you think this is true, or you think this is just rumor? I mean, you're talking about turning down the job. Like, he had it wrapped up. Didn't interview, just had it wrapped up.
Yeah, no, I'm not buying this one at all, but I just, like I said, this is a name I'm hearing. I wasn't thinking in the SEC, Will Healy, but man, that would be a stunner, Shane. And it's kind of like you basically laid it out there perfectly. You know, when you fire your coach, you automatically, you're like, my God, maybe we can get Mike Leach. You know, he's interested. Mm-hmm. And then here a week later, fucking Will Healy's who we got. Like, oh my God, like, what? Why the fuck did we get rid of Odom? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
this is a downgrade. But I don't know, that's kind of the way these things go. And this is why, you know, I'm looking at you, South Carolina. I'm looking at you, Vanderbilt, where people are just, let's get rid of this. Let's get rid of fucking Muschamp. Let's pay him $29 million, whatever. Let's bring in Will Healy. Like, it's not necessarily going to, it's not like striking gold. You know what I mean? Urban yeah. Meyer is not knocking at that door. So sometimes you got to be careful what you ask for. And like I said, I mean, this kind of strikes me. This is similar to old Chad Morris, Shane, where I'm not trying to badger Arkansas fans. We kind of already done that enough this season, but it's very easy to talk yourselves into it. I mean, hell, he recruited Deshaun Watson. He turned SMU around. He's a hell of a recruiter. But we found out real quick he didn't know what the fuck he was doing when it comes to coaching. So you just really got to be careful what you're asking for. You've got to wonder if this is the candidate that Missouri and Ole Miss is after, how much money do they really have to buy a coach? And I'm thinking they don't have a whole lot if this is the candidate they're looking at.
Buddy, Mike is fired up.
All right, Shane, last thing here before we get into some SEC Conference Championship game talk. Just want to hit on these real quick because, I mean, these are going to be coming and going. Each podcast will probably, until the season kicks off, Shane, we'll probably have one transfer portal update on every show the way this thing's going. But I just wanted to run down a couple names here that guys that have entered the portal here since we last got on the podcast. Tennessee's had three of them, Shane. Marcus Tatum and Ryan Johnson, both offensive linemen. And then freshman Jared Means, who has kind of played receiver and defensive back. They're all three in the transfer portal. Texas A&M offensive lineman Kellen Deitch, who's a graduate transfer. He's in the portal. Ole Miss offensive lineman Bryce Matthews. And then finally Arkansas freshman offensive lineman Silas Robinson. A lot of offensive linemen, Shane, in this damn transfer portal. Just wanted to make those notes. And, you know, none of these players are standouts or anything. It's not going to cripple the team by any means. But I just wanted to give a couple of those updates on guys that are probably not going to be with their current team heading into next season.
Noted.
All right, Shane, so you ready to talk some SEC championship game?
Yeah, buddy.
All right, Shane, so Kirby Smart met with the media here on Tuesday evening.
Oh, dog, sick him!
And I just thought, you know, one of the things that he said, I know this to be the case, but sometimes I think you just kind of forget it because of the history of Coach O, but man, Coach Orgeron, he's killing it here lately in top 10 matchups the last couple years. Now, obviously, he's not undefeated. He's lost to, you know, Alabama, then a couple years last season, they lost to Florida. And so I'm not saying he's perfect, but I think he's got more top 10 wins than just about anyone other than maybe Dabo Swinney the last two or three years combined. So Coach O's really, you know, he's really nailed this big game coaching in recent seasons, and I don't think he gives enough credit for it. We'll jump over to Kirby Smart here in a minute, but he's certainly giving him credit. How much credit are you giving Coach O'Shane heading into this SEC championship game, going into almost assuredly a college football playoff run here? But, you know, sometimes I think we look at the LSU coaching staff, we note these outstanding coordinators they got, but are we giving Coach O enough credit for being one of the nation's best head coaches, or does he still have to, does he got to win this game on Saturday? Does he got to win a college football playoff game to earn that respect of being, you know, the elite of the elite head coaches in the nation right now?
No, I think he's already got it, man. You know, sometimes coaching's just being a good business manager, you know, and yeah, he has excellent coordinators now, but that's not always been the case. I mean, you know, last year he cut bait pretty quick when things weren't working. And look, he changed the whole offense because it just wasn't working. I mean, that's just great management. And I think he's in that realm, you know. Just like you said, you look at the top 10 wins that he's had, you look what he's been able to do from last year to this year, what he's been able to do just this year, going undefeated in the SEC, especially the West, is almost impossible, man. Some of the greatest teams that have ever played usually trip up at some point during the season. LSU hasn't. So, I think Coach O's in that discussion. And I'm telling you what, there is some people down there. There are some boosters. There are some, you know, there may be somebody on the staff or, you know, that probably at some point wanted to fire Coach O. You know,
oh yeah, for sure.
And you know, this isn't the guy. This isn't the answer for. And they're the same ones that are partying down there right now, saying that this is the greatest team ever. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, you never know what you have. Sometimes you catch lightning in a bottle, and that's what they have with Coach O. He's a player's coach. You know, you think about it, even last year when they were down and a lot of people thought that they were really going to struggle, you know, he rallied the team. They had the players only meeting. They just felt like at that moment became a family, and they all bought into to one goal. And this, you know, this, these little corny things he does with tell the truths and, you know, one heartbeat and all this stuff, you know, it works. The kids bought into it. And I'm a huge fan. As you know, I'm a huge fan of Coach O, and I'm just glad that they gave him the opportunity, because he is running with it, brother.
Yeah, and I think on the flip side, we could say a lot of the same things about Kirby Smart, which has got me so excited about this game. Because Kirby, you know, I think we take it for granted a little bit. I know he inherited a lot of talent, but in his second year, obviously went to the national championship game, won the SEC conference, was, you know, a couple plays away from doing it again last season, can win in the playoffs. We've seen that. These games are not too big for him. Seems like, you know, every time, you know, Georgia faces some damn battles in the SEC, Florida, Auburn, I mean, Kirby Smart's winning these a lot more and he's losing them. So I'm pretty fired up about this coaching matchup too, because I don't think, by any means, I don't think either one of these coaches is going to be, you know, embarrassed by any means. I'm not expecting any kind of blowout. And you can take it a step further down to the assistant, Shane. We got Dan Lanning, defensive coordinator for Georgia, Joe Brady, the passing coordinator for LSU, both Broyles Award finalists. So it's pretty unique that we got two finalists of this award going head-to-head during conference championship weekend, but we're lucky enough to get it. And I'm just looking over the stats today, Shane, for this matchup. I mean, damn near LSU is number one in every key offensive category in the SEC. Georgia's number one in every meaningful category in the SEC defense. So, man, I'm just fired up talking about this game. But let's kick it over to Kirby, Shane, talking, like we said, Coach O and his big game coaching ability on if the game plan is going to be different at all, considering that Pickens is out, you know, Cager's out. How does that affect Georgia in the first half? This was just a really weird question he got about other jobs. I just thought it was a funny reaction here. The latest on DeAndre Swift, and then I thought this was a really, you know, a lot of times Kirby Smart doesn't really want to, like, doesn't seem to show much personality, but when he was asked about his first SEC championship game appearance, he kind of, it kind of cracked a little bit here.
Kirby, you've had a couple sound bites as a head coach, but then over at LSU, they've got probably one of the most well-known characters, I guess, as a coach in college football. And I mean, in terms of Coach Orgeron, character like that, and just his overall persona, how good do you think it is for the game, for the SEC, to have a guy like that doing what he does?
Well, it's awesome. I think it's more important what he does with his team than what he says. Obviously, words only go so far. It's your actions and your team's performance, and he certainly spoke loud and clear with that. Because they played really well in big games. He keeps his team good and loose, and they play to his character. I think it's great for our conference. I think we've got a stellar group of coaches in our conference.
Is there a sense that losing Cager for the year and not having George for the first half, that the kind of offensive game plan for the first half of this game will be a little bit different than it has been this season?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, you can't change who you are completely in a week. Certainly, we've got different groupings, different packages, different use of guys. You know, we got a lot of big guys. We got tight ends, backs, you know, receivers, just not as many as we've always, not as many as we've normally had. So, but I don't think there's gonna be a major wholesale change in a week.
Do you think that kind of, I guess.
How difficult is this week as a coach when you've got the game at the end of it, but you're also possibly hearing that your name is connected to school X, and sort of the coaching carousel? As far as like, so you've got the guy, obviously you got the game to focus on, but potentially you're also hearing your name, not you specifically, but you're hearing assistants and coaches mentioned for these other jobs.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard anything, so my head's in the sand. I mean, I'm grinding on LSU. I have no idea what you're referencing, so I guess I need to get on and check my phone. I really don't know what's going on out there.
I think.
What is the course? Swift's still on course.
Yeah, I mean, he's been out there doing what we ask him to do. He's practicing. I mean, banged up, man. It's tough, but you know, he's a warrior. He's a fighter, and we're expecting him to be able to go. I mean, he's practicing.
How did he injure his left shoulder on that
play because he landed on his right.
Yeah, I think that he, according to him, we had that same question. It was earlier in the game that he entered. He continued to play, you know, he continued to play with it, and then it just began to hurt more and more and more after that. And that was kind of a culmination of that on that play, where it was like it was bothering him more. But yeah, he's had a banged up shoulder a lot of the year. A lot of our guys. I mean, Brian Herring's had it. We've had a couple of players have the similar injury that he has. He has played with it, dealt with it, and it's a very, I won't say it's a common injury, but we have a lot of guys that have had that same injury in football, and he's been dealing with it well, and it came to a head Saturday because he had a couple hits earlier where he did fall on it and it bothered him.
Kirby, this will be the fourth Georgia LSU SEC championship game. What do you remember about 2005 as an assistant coach?
Man, I remember stuff after the game. You know, it's the first SEC championship that I was ever a part of, number one. Number two, to win it was pretty special. I remember taking pictures afterwards and shocked they played a well of a game. And it was like the pinnacle of my career at that point because I'd never played in an SEC championship. I'd never really been even close to one. And to win one, it was pretty special because you don't know if you're ever going to get that opportunity when you play and you coach. And that was a special time.
All right, Shane. So how about this? Kirby Smart asked about damn job security during a press conference. I was like, what? I was just as thrown off as Kirby. I was like, what in the hell are they talking about here?
No, I think what they were talking about was like his – it almost sounded like they were saying he was – his name came up in different jobs. Like, is there other jobs that you would want other than, you know, I mean, there's like a handful of SEC is that how you understood it? Like his job was being threatened if he doesn't win this thing?
Well, I took it as like maybe the damn Dallas Cowboys or something is calling Kirby to take over or something. And he's trying to prepare. I was like, why in the hell are they asking this question?
I love it. Oh man, no, I don't. Kirby's not going anywhere, dude. But what do you think about some of these assistants? You know, I thought it's kind of funny. He's like, probably I should check my phone. But you know, there was people were talking about Sam going somewhere. Is there still? Have you heard anything else about some of these assistants?
No, that's died down a lot. But of course, we're still in the head coaching carousel season, and hell, Shane, we haven't even had any hires, but that's kind of when you really see a lot of movement with the assistant coaching staff, is obviously, like I said, you know, we got Dan Lanning here. He's a real young guy. He's the defensive coordinator. They've got like a co-coordinator. The guy's name is Glenn Schumann. I could certainly see, you know, if there's a coaching change all somewhere big, you know, it'd have to be like Florida State maybe or something like that. I could certainly see whoever's getting that job to call, you know, one of these assistants and say, hey, you know, whatever Kirby's teaching you, come run my defense. We'll give you a huge raise, you know, stuff like that. I think you're going to see not just Georgia. You're going to see that all across the SEC. I'm just using that as an example.
Right.
I'm not hurt anything. It's really hard to speculate on that until we know who's going to be the head coaches. But, yeah, I think that is something that is going to – not so much the SEC championship game. I think this question would have been better served to ask maybe during the bowl time. Because that's when that's really going to go down, because that's when the head coaches are coming in. That's when they're trying to build their staffs behind closed doors. And not so much this week, but that is something that if Georgia makes a college football playoff run, they will have to monitor. You know, it seems like Alabama's had to do it every year. Obviously, they're not going to have to do it. LSU's dealing with it right now with Joe Brady and the speculation of apparently Texas is trying to hire him as an offensive coordinator. So this is something that coaches do have to deal with from time to time, but I've not heard anything yet with Georgia losing their key assistants. But that's just part of the territory, Shane. When you're so damn good, you know your assistants, other people are going to want to hire them.
Yeah, I think Dan Lanning is going to be on a few short lists. Just what he's been able to do with this defense, and you know they really didn't want to get rid of him last year. You know, and they promoted him when the opportunity came up. So, you know, I don't know if he's ready to make the next step, but man, that is curious. That's the one I'm keeping my eye on. So,
all right, let's kick it down to the other side here, Shane. Let's go to Baton Rouge, where Joe Burrow met with the media here recently. And, you know, keep in mind, yes, Joe Burrow's, you know, he's played in some big games this year, obviously, but, you know, last year they were not in any kind of a game quite like this. I mean, their biggest game after the season was against UCF, who, say what you want, I know that team was undefeated, and, you know, they really gave LSU a nice shot there in the first half, but, you know, they were definitely out, you know, outmanned in that game, and LSU kind of took care of business in the second half. So this is going to be the biggest game of Joe Burrow's life, too, because he never really got to play at Ohio State, so this is a huge game, and he met with the media here, and you know, you got to think, not only is this, you know, his life is changing before his eyes. I know it's, you know, each going week, I think it's a little bit easier to kind of maybe block out the noise when you're in the season. But once you start getting, I don't know if you heard this, Shane, but apparently the Vegas odds makers, they have stopped taking money on Heisman bets. There's nowhere that is taking Heisman bets, is my understanding, because everybody knows Joe Burrow is going to win it. So they're not accepting bets because everyone was just betting Joe Burrow. So imagine that, you know, you're getting all this talk. Everybody knows you're going to win the Heisman. He's on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I mean, ESPN's making features about him. He's the biggest, you know, star in Baton Rouge right now, other than maybe Coach O. He can't go out to eat because he's just getting mobbed. I mean, at some point, this may wear on him. You know what I mean? Or I don't know if that's the right word, but it may just kind of distract from his focus of, you know, it's real easy when it's just week to week to week. You know what you got to do. You know who you got to prepare for. But now it's completely different. It's the SEC championship game and then a college football playoff coming up. The expectations, the hype, everything around it is just going to get bigger and bigger. The spotlight's getting bigger. You got damn NFL team, Shane, having, well, the fans, I should say, having banners. I don't know if you've seen that up in Cincinnati. They're wanting Joe Burrow number one overall. So any thoughts here, Shane, that I know Joe Burrow, no one's flawless, but he's played as close to flawless as you can this year. The weight of all the expectations, the hype, the spotlight, any chance that that's maybe gets to Joe Burrow a little bit here down the stretch?
Nope, not at all. And I'm going to tell you,
all that just for that.
I know. I don't see it, because what have you seen that has given you that impression that that is going to affect her? I mean, when I think about important games, the SEC championship is a important game. Obviously, it is going to be a huge event. However, when I think about LSU going to Tuscaloosa, playing Alabama with the president sitting in the stands, you know, having 2 weeks to prepare for that game, I think that would have been the moment. If he were to crack, he would have done it. You know, the fact that he went into that hostile environment and, I mean, performed not flawlessly, but he did fantastic and won that game. I don't see why the SEC championship would be any different. You know what I'm saying? They played last week. He played great last week. They're going to play this week. It seems like if he were to break, it would have been when he had that bye week right before Alabama, and just maybe it would have got just overwhelming, because there was a lot of hype saying, you know, whoever wins this game wins the Heisman, you know. So I don't know. I don't think it's going to get to Joe. I think he'll be fine.
Well, I think, you know, I certainly could agree with everything you're saying there. You make a good point, but I don't know. I just think it's a little bit different, because I think in that Alabama game, that's when he won the Heisman, you know, as long as he didn't lose another game. So that you got the weight of that. You've got, like I said, the Sports Illustrated cover. And I really do think, you know, Kirby Smart mentioned it a little bit there during his recalling back to his first SEC championship game. That was the pinnacle of his career. I mean, the SEC championship game, what it has turned into, especially now it's in that Atlanta facility where the Falcons play. I mean, it's basically Super Bowl of college football. You know what I mean? Like, it's that big of a deal. I think it's an even a bigger deal than anything short of the national championship game. Like, if LSU wins this game, I think their next game in the semifinals, I don't even think that's going to be as big a deal. I think the only thing that can top it is the national championship. That's just my opinion. But I don't know. I'm not saying it's going to happen, Shane, but I'm saying I wouldn't be shocked by it either, because I don't know. I think it's just human nature. When the more is put on you, I think the more it affects you. So, and that may be an advantage. Keep thinking about that this week. Georgia's been there 3 years in a row. LSU, nobody on this team's been there. The coach, none of the coaches have been there. So I'm going to be very interested to see how that plays out. But let's kick it over to Joe Burrow, Shane, who talks about Georgia's defense a little bit. He talks them up here. Talks about last year's Georgia game. I just thought this was kind of interesting. And then kind of like I was hitting on here, having to sign so many damn Sports Illustrated for the fans.
This is what we've been working for. SEC Championship is here, and we're playing a really good team. Obviously, best defense in the country, in my opinion. So we're going to have – it's a tall task for us, but, you know, this is what we work for, so we'll be ready for it.
What sets their defense apart from, say, Auburn or Florida, you know, especially Auburn?
You know, they don't have – you know, they have two – I think the two best tandem safeties in the country. I don't think there's a group that's better than those guys. And you can tell how well coached they are. They're very sound in their scheme, and I think they really understand their scheme, which makes them so dominant. I don't want to go into a game thinking, you know, not every drive is going to end in a score. I think we get disappointed if we don't score. So I think going into this game, we're going to keep our same mentality. We're going to attack. We're going to go fast. We're going to throw the ball down the field. But also understanding that this is the best. One of the best defenses in the country, so you're going to have to take what the defense gives you and march the ball down the field. They're not going to give you anything easy.
How do you want to approach this last week before the Heisman Hype really locks in?
Just like any other week. It's the SEC Championship, but we're going in to play our game, to attack. You know, I'm not worried about the award stuff all next week. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about beating Georgia, playing our game, and practicing the way we need to practice this week.
It was kind of a game.
I had two different teams. You know, they have three or four guys back on that defense, and the rest are new starters that are playing really, really well. And we're a new offense, same guys, but new offense and new scheme. So last year is last year. I'm sure they're going to want some revenge on us, but it's the SEC Championship. I don't think you need any more motivation.
How many Sports Illustrated have you signed?
Oh, God. I couldn't even tell you. So many. So it's... You got to take a step back and realize where you are, though. You know, I'm signing the cover of a Sports Illustrated because I'm on it, not just any Sports Illustrated. It's pretty special.
Does that not seem real? Like, when you look at it, you're like, is that really me on there?
Yeah, it doesn't. You know, you always, growing up, obviously, I always wanted to be on the cover, and then I'm on the cover, and it's like, huh, just ball.
And there was no jinx, obviously.
No jinx, hopefully.
All right, Shane, so Joe Burrow's doing his best Kirby Smart there, talking up Georgia's defense there. But, you know, I think it's more maybe a little less talking up than just being accurate, because this is going to be, you know, the matchup of the season here. Last time LSU faced a defense quite like this was Auburn, and, you know, they held them in the 20s. So if Georgia can do something similar, I think there's a real chance Georgia could pull an upset here. Any chance? I don't know. What are your thoughts on that, I guess?
Yeah, this sounds like game film talk to me, Mike. You know what I'm saying? He's already watched a little bit, and he's seen what he's got back there in the secondary, and Georgia's legit. So that's what it came across to me. So I do like the Sports Illustrated thing. That's pretty cool. Is there a curse on the Sports Illustrated thing? Just curious, because, I mean, there's the man curse. Because he kind of hinted at it. Is there one on this one?
Oh, yeah, there always has been, Shane, where apparently, you know, the guy, whoever's on the cover of it, they never win the – it's like they fall apart and they never have the success. But it was kind of – they kind of joke about it because, you know, he was put on it right before – the A&M game in hell, Shane. I mean, they just ripped them a new one. So I don't think the curse is doing too well these days.
The only thing that does concern me about LSU is just like we talked about yesterday. It's just the fact that honestly, if LSU stays close and loses this game, they're still in. You know, and I think does that play a factor into this game? I don't think anybody goes in to lose, obviously. I think they're going to be out there to complete the perfect season. But, you know, in the back of your mind, if you know you got that free pass, Mike, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt, Shane. All right, last thing I got here, Shane, let's kick it over to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, LSU's outstanding running back, who Shane not only is on the bandwagon for this kid, he built the damn bandwagon.
That's right.
He was asked Lies about a little off topic here, but, you know, he's been such a huge piece of this LSU offense, particularly, you know, ever since that Alabama game, Shane, it seems like he's hit another gear, and it's just made LSU look that much more unstoppable. He was kind of asked about that Alabama game and his relationship with his father here, which is, if you don't know the story, I'll tell you on the back end here, but it's one of the better stories in college football this year.
Yes, sir.
Nick Saban recruited you, said you're a kick returner, you're not a running back. 20 million people watching you play maybe the game of your life in that game, and then, you know, your father, that was your real father, that was the first time a lot of people saw him, and he said he never wanted to draw attention to himself. I just, that day and that experience and your motivation, just if you can speak to it.
That day is surreal. It's, you know, just from the moment we woke up, everything just felt defined and magnetized for some reason, didn't know why. You know, and naturally you'll say, okay, that's just the game. We're playing Bama and everything else, but it didn't feel like any other day where I wake up and, you know, I hop out the bed, you know, take a shower and do the whole, everything just felt like it was in slow motion from the moment I woke up. And from that point, all the way down throughout the game to the end of the game, seeing my dad, I know he didn't want to be, you know, in the spotlight. It was just him being him. That's just who he is. I know the rest of my family were in the stands. I know they felt the same way. If I could have had all of them around me, you know, that would have been ideal. But just him being the way he is and the talks that we've had beforehand and everything that I've expressed to him, the things that he's expressed to me, him being him playing at Baker High in his day and balling and doing the things that he did and, you know, him getting caught up in the situation he did, but me, him being able to see me live out my dream, and I mean, that's all he wanted. He didn't want anything from it. He just wants me to be happy. My family just wants me to be happy, and for the most part, that game pretty much, you know, turned the coin and everything's starting to work out.
All right, Shane, so there's Clyde Edwards-Helaire there talking it up, and, you know, he's got another opportunity to shine here. He could really be the X factor in this game against Georgia because he's going to ask, you know, not only obviously running the ball, but I think they're probably going to rely on him a lot out of the backfield to catch passes, to be picking up blitzers and all kinds of things, because the only way Georgia's going to beat LSU is to get to Joe Burrow, so the pass protection is going to be critical in this game. But for those that don't know...
His husband, I don't know if they're a husband, but he went to jail mm-hmm. for drugs for like 14 years. But as soon as he was in, she met Helaire, and they got married, so it was his stepdad. So he never really had a, you know, like a broken home, I guess you would say. But, you know, his stepdad was always there for him. So, and when his dad got out of prison, he decided that he wanted to hyphenate his name because he didn't want to do away with Edwards, but he wanted to recognize everything that his stepdad's done for him. And that's why he's got the hyphenated name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just think that's a real cool story. I mean, that's not one that you hear that often, but Mm-mm. it's an honor to, you know, his name. It's an honor to the man that helped raise him. And I don't know. I just think that's really special, and it's I don't know. I just really liked when I found that out, and it just makes his story all that the much better this year, don't you think?
Absolutely, man. And there's a video floating around. SEC Network put out. It's fantastic. If we find it, we'll put it on the Reddit page. But you know, I love success stories, dude. I love when people beat the odds, and there was a lot of folks that didn't think he could play like they thought he could play Division One ball, but they didn't think it could be with the big boys. He didn't think it could be in the SEC, and definitely couldn't be with LSU. But you know, he kept grinding, man, and he had his opportunity and he took advantage of it. And what I like about it is, you know, when you think of the LSU greats, you know, you think of Leonard Fournette, you think of guys, but you know, there's a real possibility that Clydesdale may be the best of all three. And that's saying a lot, because those are some studs out there. And I know a lot of people love Fournette, and I get that. But, you know, just the tangibles that this kid has and what he'll be able to do at the next level and the way the NFL's being played these days, you know, he could be playing on Sundays for a long time, man.
Yeah, I mean, that was a bold statement you just made, Shane, but he's the one with the win over Alabama. He's the one that may help him to the SEC championship. He may be the one that helps bring a national championship to Baton Rouge. So if he does all that, you can't argue with that.
Absolutely.
All right, last thing here, Shane, I wanted to hit on this. I don't want to forget it, but Tua did an interview here with Kirk Herbstreit of ESPN, and I just really wanted to include this because, you know, I think a lot of people assumed that he's just immediately going to go to the NFL. We all know, you know, the devastating injury he suffered, and that's clouded things. But, you know, I just thought this was a really open and honest discussion here from Tua on where his mindset is. And, you know, just listen to this. He's clearly torn on what he's going to do.
Well, I think you got to think on both sides of the spectrum. You think of risk-reward on, you know, coming back. You think of risk-reward on leaving, you know. And when I kind of look at it, I look at it, if I come back, the risk is, you know, what if I get hurt again? But the reward could be, you know, maybe I jump back to the top of the charts, you know, and the boards, you know, for all these teams. Now you look at the other side of the spectrum, if I leave, well, the risk is, you know, do I still go in the first round? Or, you know, do I even make it to the second round? And, I mean, these guys don't even know, you know, if I can play with, you know, the hip injury yet, too. And then, you know, I'd say the reward and all of that is, you know, yeah, I'll be getting paid millions, but I mean, a lot of the money that I could have made, you can't make that money up now, you know, and so that'd be me leaving money on the table. But then at the same time, I still gotta talk, you know, with my family about all of this, see what their input is. And, you know, now is not the time to be making emotional decisions, but now you gotta change into thinking as a businessman. You know, you gotta make business decisions, and it's just going to be a business decision we'd have to make as a family. But you know, my parents would tell you, you know, it ended up coming down to my decision. So.
And when do you hope to make that decision? Like, is that, I don't even know the dates. I don't know if it's in, early January.
Yes, the 20th, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you going to wait up to the last second? Are you going to come to a decision, and once you feel it, pray about it?
Yeah.
Just kind of say it, whatever.
Yeah, so I think once we, you know, come to a decision and we've prayed on it, and, you know, what I feel is, you know, heavy on my heart that is the right thing to do for me, then, you know, I'll do it, whether it's tomorrow, you know, or on the 20th of January, then, yeah.
All right, Shane, so you heard it there from Tua. What do you think he will do, and what do you think he should do here? And, I mean, I've heard a lot of interesting things. I've even heard, you know, some people suggest maybe return to Alabama and just not even play, and you basically just rehab, and you kind of prove yourself, well, this time next year to the NFL people that says, you know, hey, my hip's working just fine, and I just didn't want to risk the injury, and you know, maybe they'll make him number one pick again. But you also got to think that at this time next year, Trevor Lawrence is going to be coming up. So I think even if Tua were to take that route, I think NFL, as long as Trevor Lawrence, you know, hopefully doesn't get hurt, I think there's no chance that Tua goes ahead of Trevor Lawrence just based on what we've seen so far. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on this situation?
Man, I think, honestly, right now, I think he goes. Mm-hmm. And something that you talked on a while back, and, you know, the NFL, when you watch the NFL, it's so hard to find the quarterback. You know what I'm saying? The one that you can just rely on for several years, like an Aaron Rodgers or a Ben Roethlisberger, even though he's banged up, Tom Brady, those types of guys, you know, Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees. You know, when you find the one, you could keep him for a long time, you know. And you know, now you're seeing some of these new guys like Patrick Mahomes and, you know.
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar's kind of his own. That's a whole different animal right there, dude. I don't know if it – well, maybe. I mean, if he stays healthy. Anyway, that's like a totally different subject. But what I'm saying is you find that one quarterback – you can build around it. You can build a franchise around it. And is Tua banged up? Absolutely. Is there a chance that he misses 2 years? I mean, it wouldn't even surprise me if a team picked him and sat him on the bench and rehabbed him and got him right before they tried to move him in, kind of like an Aaron Rodgers situation, you know. He's going to be a first-round pick. I cannot fathom the idea of somebody waiting to the second round to get Tua. You know, somebody's going to take a chance in the first round and probably pretty early. Mm-hmm. And they may not rush him. They may not play him the following season. But there's a vent in the back of their minds. There's that moment when Tua is going to be able to take over an NFL team. And, you know, he has what it takes to be one of those guys, you know. Now, he could be a bust. He may not come back 100% healthy. There's always that possibility. But, you know, look at some of these other quarterbacks floating around the NFL. You know, at least you know what you have with Tua.
Yeah, and I think you make a good point. Now, worst case scenario, like you said, I don't think there's any way he's going to miss 2 years. But let's just say that does happen. If you get him and he's your quarterback the following 8 to 10 seasons – mm-hmm. I mean, that's worth like 10 first round picks. And I'm not even exaggerating because that's the difference in the NFL right now. If you got one of these quarterbacks that's really good, you know, your team is in contention. I don't care what you got around them. You know, if you got the right pieces around them, you'll win a Super Bowl. But if you could have, you know, Pro Bowlers all over the field, but if you got a terrible quarterback, you got no shot. So I'm with you. I don't think there's any chance he would slip to the second round. I would be stunned if he went, you know, past like 15. Like, I think he'd probably be a top 10 option still, just given the fact that the quarterback is such a in-demand position. And there's mm-hmm. all it takes is one, Shane. I mean, particularly if you're looking at the quarterbacks coming up this year. And I know we like Joe Burrow, but how many other ones are there? I mean, you're talking the Oregon quarterback. Maybe evaluate him and you say, well, hell, this kid, he's not that good. I mean, all it takes is one team to fall in love with or fall out of love with all the other guys, and they'll take a chance on Tua.
Look at Sweat last year, you know? I mean, the guy tore his ACL, right, you know, before the draft, and he still went first round, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about the from Mississippi State?
Yeah.
Well, I think it was him. It was a heart condition, remember? That's kind of why he fell a little bit. But that's a good example, Shane, because a lot of people thought he would fall several rounds. But what happened was the Redskins cleared him. The Redskins loved his film and said, hell, I mean, there's minimal risk here. Now, the other 31 franchise, they may have said this is huge risk, but it doesn't matter. It's just the one. You just need one team to believe. And if you got that talent, I mean, they'll overlook a hell of a lot. So I think I wouldn't blame Tua for coming back. I'm not saying he has to go by any means, but.
Oh, no. It was Simmons, wasn't it? It was Simmons.
Yeah, Jeffrey Simmons. Yeah, so he tore up his knee, but he's already back again. So, if I'm Tua, I think I'm going, and I'm collecting that paycheck while I can get it. All right, Shane, so that's all I got on this one. You got anything before we hop off here?
No, that's it, buddy. Sucks. We got one game to look forward to this week, but I'm going to love it. We're going to love them all, you know, and we're just going to keep an eye on them. And after this, we're going to get some bowl games, right? When do they come out with those?
Yeah, so on Sunday, we're going to find out about the bowl assignments, and I've actually got a pretty good guest lined up here, Shane, so look forward to that. Once the bowl assignments I think I'm probably going to try to get a couple people to get on the pod, because obviously it's an SEC podcast, and we're not going to, you know, we never bullshit you guys, but if, you know, let's say an SEC team's playing Purdue or Nebraska or whoever the hell they're playing, those are teams that we don't know a lot about. So I've already reached out to people that can help us break us down, give us the matchups for the other schools. So once we know who the SEC teams are playing in the bowl games, look forward to that in the coming next week and everything. So we got a lot of great content, and I'm ready to talk about the rest of these teams getting back into action. I know it's a heavy recruiting time right now, but man, it won't be long before we're breaking down these bowl matchups and college football playoff matchups, and man, it's getting close.
Yes sir, I love it. It's the coaching search is at 100 miles an hour right now, and I love it. Just learn. I gotta figure out more about this Healy guy, you know.
Just don't hire Healy, you'll be all right.
Just don't hire Healy, you'll be all right.
All right, Shane, thanks for joining me. As always, thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Oh, and if you made it this far, if you wouldn't mind just going a step further, giving us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, that really helps out the podcast. Thanks, guys. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you, guys. Go Vols. Thank you.